second hour of Bulldog Live underway right now here on The Pulse. And to follow up on a topic that we had been discussing for a good long time, and that is the idea of undergrounding utility transmission lines, and particularly creating energy corridors, which was the purpose of Senate Bill 361, which was passed by the legislature. And they held a series of meetings, commission meetings, and there was public hearings, and of which I covered one of them for you, as we talked about that extensively in the last month from the public hearing that was in Plymouth that was very, very well attended and caught the attention of all the commission members. Commission members made up of a number of elected representatives as well as agency heads and various people working within state agencies. Well, the main person who spearheaded this effort is Senator Jeanie Forrester of Meredith, who is here to talk about the commission's work that has wrapped up and what they are recommending and what issues have been studied and the like. And Senator Forrester, welcome back to Bulldog Live.
Thank you, Brian, for having me on your show. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to talk to folks about what we've done.
Well, I really appreciate all the work that you have been putting into these kinds of things, and we understand that so much of this came about because of what Northern Pass is proposing. But this isn't just about Northern Pass. This is about a whole wide array of energy projects that New Hampshire could be seeing in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. We, during the course of the commission work, what we did discover is that there is no comprehensive energy plan for the state of New Hampshire, and we have a lot of proposed projects out there from private developers looking to come into the state and do whatever it might be, whether it's transmission lines or wind turbines. And it is, in my opinion, very, very important that we have a plan in place so that we know what is coming and what our state will look like.
Well, exactly. And the people of Grafton and Danbury are finding that out right now, as a matter of fact, when they see how the process is playing out. And, of course, what voice or little voice or no voice that the local communities have in these kinds of matters, too.
Right.
So, but with the SB 361 Commission, there was that public hearing held last month. There was two of them, one in Concord, one in Plymouth. And then after that, the commission members continued to meet in response to what was said at that at those public hearings and wrapped up their work.
Yes, yes. And we finalized report last Friday, we came out with four recommendations, and interesting to me, and I don't know, Brian, if you've read the report, but every one of the commission members understood or agreed to the findings. The findings of the report, what grew out of the findings, are the recommendations. And so, of course, knowing that everybody could support the findings and then have them reject three of the four recommendations was really disappointing to me, but I suppose not unexpected.
Well, yeah. Let's go through what those are.
Sure. Relative to the, and before I tell you the recommendations, I just want to, I guess, give you a little bit of an insight of where I was coming from,
Okay.
As an elected official, my priority and my responsibility is to my constituents, and I heard loud and clear at those public hearings, the one in Plymouth in particular, their concerns about what could potentially happen to New Hampshire's beautiful vistas and their landscapes with this uncontrolled predatory development, and that's how I see it. It's exactly why the 361 Commission was created, to look at the feasibility of creating underground energy corridors, and we weren't able to finish that work, and until we do, I think it's appropriate for us to make these recommendations, whether it be a moratorium on projects that are not needed for reliability, that have the potential to ruin our landscape until the work is completed, to, reinforcing the site evaluation committee. And in my opinion, to ignore comments from the public is just irresponsible.
We'll be talking a lot. I'll be talking a lot about that in the coming week here on this show, as we'll be discussing that kind of that issue specifically with somebody whose town would be affected by the latest wind development proposal.
Sure.
But back to your observations.
Sure. The three recommendations that we came away with from the commission's work was that we need to ask the governor to create a task force that would have utility ratepayers, the business community, conservation community and legislators, state municipal government, and the utility industry all sitting at the table to look at to continuing the work of the commission. That was the first recommendation. The second one was to introduce legislation that would require merchant or elective. That means projects that are not needed for reliability, not we don't need the electricity, that those merchant projects, when they're applying for the certificate from the Site Evaluation Committee, that they have to provide a proposal for an underground alternative.
Mm-hmm.
The third one was to enact a one-year moratorium on any new applications to the Site Evaluation Committee for electric transmission projects which have not been determined to be reliability projects by ISO New England. That gives the governor's task force recommended above 1 year to complete its charge. And then the final one was to develop a comprehensive state energy policy, which includes a more robust review of regulatory review process for energy projects. And, you know, we went on to say with the last one that the state energy policy should take into account project's impacts, including but not limited to the state's economy and its landscapes. Now, as I said earlier, three of the four, the commission, the department agencies, voted against, including one representative, Callie Pitts. The only thing we had unanimous agreement on was to create the task force.
Sure, the governor's task force to study these issues. Now, just because the commission did not go for the mandate, the underground alternative, when there's an elective energy proposal or a one-year moratorium on new energy projects until an energy policy is in place, which also is the fourth point, that doesn't prevent legislators from going ahead and proposing their own legislation to address those concerns.
Absolutely not. And you may know that Representative Rappaport is actually submitting legislation for the task force. He's submitting legislation for the one-year moratorium. I am submitting legislation for the Site Evaluation Committee and for the State Energy Plan.
Okay. Now, were the people that voted against the three out of the four recommendations, were they doing so because they say, gee, I'm afraid that we are conflicted on this because we do serve on the Site Evaluation Committee? Was that a concern that they raised?
You mean when they voted against the three of the four?
Yes.
Yes. Well, they gave a couple different reasons, actually three. The first had to do with their comment that they don't, as state agencies, they don't make policy, they just carry it out. The second reason was the conflict with the Site Evaluation Committee. And the third was, as you've probably heard, they claim that it's outside the scope of the work that we were doing. And I adamantly
disagree
with that one, yeah. So while I understand the other two points that they made, and actually in the last hearing asked them to recuse themselves because of those two issues, they all refused to recuse themselves, and they wanted to vote, and they, of course, they all voted against.
So they voted against instead of recusing themselves. That's interesting.
Right, right. And for me, it just, how can anyone really vote against developing a comprehensive state energy policy?
Yeah.
Office of Energy and Planning.
That's right. Now
voted against it. Yeah.
You can't make this stuff
no,
up.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But Senator Jeanne Forrester joining us here. She was the chair of the SB 361 Commission, talking about the report that recently came out. This was on Friday, you said the report came out, right?
Last Friday.
I'm going to post this tonight. I was saving this for today's discussion, and tonight I'll post it on my Northern Pass page at briantilton.com. But I also think you probably have this posted on your own website, right?
Actually, now it is with the State Library.
Okay.
At this point, the official, you know, the commission is completed with its task, and it all the information that you would want would be at the State Library.
Okay. Very good. So we can look for it there as well. But I can go ahead and post what you sent me, right?
Yes, absolutely. And,
okay, I'll do that.
Now you have the latest one.
Yes, that's interesting, which spells out these 4 points, which you have to read through the whole report to get to the end of it, which were those 4 points that Senator Forrester talked about. Now, in looking at what lies ahead now out of these recommendations and what was rejected, what was accepted by the commission, and looking forward to what the legislature would be looking into, I think looking into these underground alternative options, one of the things that I read in this report that you sent me was that they made note that, well, everybody talked about undergrounding, but not the specific technology involved in that.
Well, we did hear from about the specific technology, which has to do with the HVDC light technology. But we really need more information, especially about the cost. And that was the challenge, is trying to get developers who actually do this to come speak to our commission, because mm-hmm. they didn't want to, I believe, didn't want to prejudice themselves for future work. And you may know that in the beginning, when I was setting up the 361 Commission, I wanted the public on this commission, and was not able to
get your public members on the commission.
That's
exactly.
Right. That's right.
I do remember that was. I think that was part of our last discussion when you and I chatted on this show. Well, Senator Forrester, I do have a caller who wants to join the conversation here.
Sure.
Again, our phone number for today is 224-1077. That's our local number here for Bulldog Live on the Pulse. Dave, from where? You're on Bulldog Live along with Senator Jeanne Forrester of Meredith.
Yes, Senator, I wanted to applaud your efforts, first of all.
Thank you.
And I just was wondering, how much is being made of utilizing protection on the grid as far as from any type of electromagnetic damage, like from a CME or, God forbid, an EMP or something like that? In other words, have you been pushing that angle as far as infrastructure protection against, any type of damage from, from that type of, event?
Are you talking about like possibly a terrorist threat? Is that what you mean, or are you talking about the health risks?
What I'm talking about,
like an electromagnetic pulse, which is something that maybe the terrorist could devise. Yes.
Right.
Well, not so much that, but a lot has been made about how weak our infrastructure is, our electrical infrastructure, from any type of like a coronal mass ejection or sunspot activity.
Solar flares.
Such as the one that occurred in the 18th century here in the States, and it blew out all the transmission lines for the Morse code that we had at the time. I'm saying is, if you push that angle, if you got in league with like organizations such as InfraGuard, and just stress that to make sure that that if you're going to do it, you might as well do it underground, because it's protected against an event. So you're thinking about the future, and God forbid if there was any event like that, it's protected.
Dave, let's let Senator Forrester jump in there. I think Dave just gave you a good talking point, Senator.
Dave, that is the excellent point that you bring up. I have to say that we did talk very, very briefly about potential terrorist threat, but did not go into detail on that that issue. So that's an excellent one, and I think one that the task force should be looking at.
And that's something you could bring up at a public hearing when legislation is heard on this in the next year.
And then after you advise them of that, make sure they sign off the fact that they've been advised and that the state is held harmless legally and financially from any damage that occurs, that may occur.
Sure.
So if that occurs in the future, God forbid, and damage occurs, that the state isn't going to, you know, be held liable for it.
Mm-hmm.
That the company, the hydroelectric company will absorb the cost.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dave, thank you very much. I got to go. You take care. All right. And Senator Forrester, if you do need any more information on that, I know Jim Bender has been very much involved. You remember Jim Bender?
Yep,
he ran for Senate a couple of years ago. I know he's done some work in that regard.
Hmm.
So there's another possibility of some expertise to tap into.
Great.
But
that's great.
Well, Senator, thank you very much for joining us and updating us on the work of this commission and the report that came out on Friday. And certainly we'll be following these issues as we go forward into the next legislative session, and you will be part of the Senate again. So congratulations.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks again for having me on your show.
Okay, you're welcome. Anytime. Feel free to call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.